In 1962, a little boy in Pittsburgh named William turned 8 years old. As a member of a Presbyterian family, subjects such as God and the afterlife were fairly common topics that popped up, and William, of course, had some questions. Particularly, questions about death. His mother explained to him that dying was a part of life for everyone, that everyone eventually dies. And to little William, that immediately felt wrong. He thought to himself, "No way is that happening to me, I'll find a way around it." A few years later, at 13, this discomfort with death and determination to beat it still occupied William's mind. He read a news article about Robert Ettinger, the father of cryonics, and swiftly became interested. And just 2 years after that, at 15 years old, William learned about Alcor Life Extension Foundation and took a life insurance policy out on himself so that he could be put into cryostasis upon death. But still, this wasn't enough. Cryonics doesn't prevent disease, aging, and dying. In fact, it requires patients to die in order to be preserved. William wanted more. According to him, quote, "I was determined to find a way to conquer death." And the rest of William's life was thusly dedicated to doing just that. Meet Bill Falloon and enter the Life Extension Foundation and, of course, the Church of Perpetual Life. Welcome back to Culture Just Weird. I'm Kayla. I'm a television writer.
I'm Chris, and I make games.
Thank you for joining us yet again as we deep dive into groups that might be cults or might be just weirds. If you'd like to talk to us more about the show, you can find us on Discord, which is linked in the show notes. And if you'd like to support us, you can find us at patreon.com/culturejustweird.
I could also use some moral support. I guess that's what the Discord's for.
Discord is just like for stroking my ego. No, it's not. There's some interesting conversations going on in there, as always.
No, our marriage is for stroking your ego. This podcast is stroking your ego.
Do you have any business before we jump into today's topic?
No, I don't have money for business, so I can't have business.
Can't have business. Let's do business. Last week on Culture Just Weird, we introduced the Church of Perpetual Life, a literal church that acts as a place where life extension enthusiasts can find fellowship together in their faith that a death-optional transhuman reality will one day be.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your little story that you said to kick us off today.
Yes.
You said, what was the guy's name? Bill?
Yes.
Tim? Bill?
I started with Little William.
That's
Bill Falloon. Who we're talking about today.
And you said that he wanted to defeat death.
Yes.
Okay. So what you need to do for that is you need to challenge death to a game of Twister.
I thought it was chess.
Chess is Seventh Seal. I think then in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, which is what I'm referencing here,
Okay. They
play, I think, Risk, Twister, maybe Sorry.
Okay.
Scrabble. I'm not sure, but if you challenge him to enough games eventually, and you have to win each time.
Okay. So Bill Falloon, if you're listening, stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Go buy a box of Twister and get to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you do that, actually, there's even more benefits because he might join your band.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And isn't the death in Bill and Ted like kind of look similar to the death in the Seventh Seal?
I think he kind of does.
They're like the same character design.
They're like this sort of like dire pale look.
With like a big robe.
Extremely funny.
Yeah. Okay. We're not talking about Bill and Ted this week. Unfortunately, week we're going to talk more deeply about the founder of the Church of Perpetual Life, as mentioned, Bill Falloon, as he is an endlessly interesting figure. For some examples, it's rumored he wears an asbestos-lined helmet while on flights in case there's a crash and his brain can be protected and then preserved.
Asbestos-lined?
I think so.
I guess that's to prevent fire?
Damage? Like, I think there's asbestos in like firefighter suits.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you don't want to like cut them.
Right. And
So
and
asbestos, his head doesn't explode and burn.
Why they initially put them in like walls and ceilings and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
He went to school for mortuary science and still holds a license as a funeral director and embalmer.
That is a very interesting thing for him to do, given that is interesting.
We will talk about that a little bit more. He endorsed drugs like metformin, melatonin, and even aspirin, specifically for its cardiovascular protective effects, before the American scientific mainstream. And those are just the highlights.
Hmm.
As mentioned, Bill...
So he was like... write about wellness stuff? Is that kind of what I'm getting here a little bit?
I don't want to say that like Bill Falloon has always been right about everything that he's like predicted would be helpful to human health. However, there are a number of examples in which Bill Falloon went, hello, I have read the research. I see what other countries are doing. Mm-hmm. A drug like metformin was like available to the public in places like Canada and the UK before it was approved by the FDA here. Mm. I think metformin is good for everybody. You should take metformin. Or he was like up on the research on melatonin before that went mainstream. And the same with things like aspirin. Mm-hmm.
And we'll, metformin again, here.
We'll get more into that.
Oh, okay. So I just want we'll talk about like what metformin is.
And, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. If you don't know.
For our non-diabetic patients.
Yeah. as mentioned.
Sorry. Our non-diabetic listeners.
Did you say patients?
I said patients.
We are not practicing medicine on this show. I will say that. There is no medical practitioners here.
No, you have to have patience to listen to the podcast, though.
Consult your doctor if you want to take metformin. As mentioned, Bill Falloon learned about the finality of death at 8 years old and dedicated his life to overcoming its reality. Cryonics was kind of his first step on that path, and after signing up with Alcor, he went on to enroll in a program at the Pittsburgh Institute of Mortuary Science in order to learn techniques that would allow him to, he thought, cryopreserve people. Like, he was like, if I can be a good embalmer, that'll help me be a good cryopreserver.
Okay, all right. I'm getting that.
When he was 20 years old, he moved to Florida to help found the Neptune Society, which is a national provider of cremation services. And I think it is, like, ironically on brand for someone that is admittedly disturbed by death to then go into a line of work that forces him to confront the reality of death, like, on the daily and the finality of death on the daily. Like, cremating a body is very final.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about as final as it gets. I wonder if he counsels his clients, like, you know, assuming that you have to set up something with him ahead of time. I guess he probably has clients that are like, you know, my parents died. Can you cremate them? But I wonder if he counsels them to be like, hey, have you considered maybe cryonics instead of cremation?
I know very little about Bill Falloon's like current state of like what level of practicing he does with his licensing. I don't know if he's still like acting as like a funeral director, okay, cremator. I just know that he's still licensed, or he was up until very recently. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. That's a very good question. If he was ever counseling people to consider something like cryopreservation as an alternative to burial or cremation. Probably not, but I don't know.
Who knows? I don't know. It's an interesting thought.
The move to Florida didn't just result in the Neptune Society. He soon linked up with other cryonics enthusiasts and met a man named Saul Kent, whose passion for life extension and beating death matched Bill's own. The two went on to found the Florida Cryonics Association in 1977, a charity with the intent of funding cryonics research.
Kayla, I have a question.
Yes.
So far, the two states that we've talked about for cryonics related activities have been Florida and Arizona.
Yeah.
Like the two hottest places in the whole country. What the hell?
Texas,
like,
is hot too.
I know we sort of explained that with Phoenix, but I don't know. It's just weird to me that like the second state that we're talking about for freezing people is Florida. It's just weird.
For what it's worth, I don't think that there's much like actual cryopreserving going on in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like, like places that are doing cryopreserving need to be like safe from natural disasters, and Florida
is not
the least safe state for natural disasters.
Well, behind California.
No, I think Florida's worse.
Really? Just from the hurricanes alone?
No, from like it's going to be underwater in 10 years.
Oh.
Like Florida's not a good place for long-term storage.
Right. Okay. Got to go to the top of Mount Everest for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't get waterworlded, kids.
The last place you want to be if you are cryopreserved is at the bottom of Waterworld. 3 years after the two men founded the Florida Cryonics Association, they received a $100,000 donation from a real estate magnate, Stephen Ruddle, and the two decided to step up their game. It was no longer about just sending monthly subscription newsletters about, you know, life extension and, you know, seeking donations. It was time for them to start selling and manufacturing vitamins and supplements the organization believed could aid in life extension. So selling these products became another way to fund cryonics and life extension research.
I just don't know about people selling pills, man. The supplement industry just immediately raises a flag for me.
I know. And also, I think it's possible that Bill Falloon has good intentions and not grifty intentions. I think it's possible, and I think it's more possible than other places I've seen. And also, as we talked about last week, I do think there are a lot of people coming in being like, hello, buy my pill. It's going to make you live forever. And also, we're going to talk about it more later, but like, there is cutting edge research that proves to be somewhat true or somewhat efficacious that is like picked up by Bill Flynn and the Church of Perpetual Life before it's picked up by the mainstream, which is not inherently a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't doubt that he seems like a true believer. I don't necessarily think that that lowers the yellow flag. Certainly his flag is less red than, you know, Alex Jones's like testosterone boosting whatever pill, but it's still, I don't know, just, it's a little weird. I get it though. It's like, it's part, like if you think that that is really what's happening, like if you're like, okay, if I take this pill, I'm going to live longer, then you might consider selling it to people. I guess that's not out of the question.
And also
not necessarily a grift.
There's a little bit of a difference between I'm Alex Jones, I'm going to sell supplements on my show, and then my show is worth $1 billion. And I'm Bill Falloon, I'm going to sell supplements to help fund cryonics research. And you can kind of track the money, and it does seem like quite a bit of that, like millions and millions, again, spoiler alert for later, millions and millions of dollars is going into cryonics research.
Okay.
So hold some of those thoughts.
Held.
We're going to have these conversations. Why would I give you the interesting conversations up front? We have to have all the context.
That would not be on a, good for our show. Like, our show doesn't do that.
In 1982, another windfall. Merv Griffin wanted to do an episode of his talk show on aging research and asked Bill Falloon to appear on one of the most watched shows of the era. There were like four channels on at the time. Millions of viewers were exposed to the Florida Cryonics Association, and according to Falloon, upwards of 10,000 people immediately wrote in asking how to get involved.
Interesting.
Bill Falloon and Kent continued and expanded their supplement manufacturing and selling business. Anytime new research came out about the possible anti-aging effects of something, they'd head over to the health food store and try to source it. And if they couldn't source it there, then they'd look for it overseas or eventually manufacture it themselves. Stephen Ruddle, that real estate magnate and cryonics enthusiast who gave them that $100,000 donation, he also expanded his help, and he set the Florida Cryonics Association up in his office building. So they opened a supplement storefront. I think it was like on the first floor. Then on the second floor, there was like a small museum with cryonics memorabilia. Third floor was a cryonics lab. And then fourth floor was an experimentation lab where they actually were carrying out animal experiments, working on like things like connections between diet and lifespan. So doing
and
the
where
actual
was
work.
The magnet? Was that at the place with all the like the iron filings or?
Do I need to be saying tycoon instead of magnate? It's
no.
The same word. I looked them up and they
no,
mean the exact
fine.
Same
that's
thing.
Fine. No, magnet's fine.
And then I think his office, the magnet's office, was like the floor above.
Okay. So it was just like holding everything up.
Yeah. Over the next few years, the activities of Florida Cryonics Association, which was operating in some as many vitamin and supplement selling companies do, legally questionable ways, earned the attention of local police and beyond. In 1986, a SWAT team raided Stephen Ruddle's office on the top floor of the building, and cocaine was found, and Ruddle eventually pled guilty to drug possession and like possibly also dealing charges.
Okay, so is cocaine a life-extending drug then? Should I be taking cocaine along with my metformin?
It's a cocktail of cocaine, metformin, resveratrol, and methamphetamine.
Okay. No, okay, so I just got to do the Rolling Stones thing.
I think the cocaine may have been separate from the life extension supplements.
Oh, okay.
The Florida Cryonics Association suspected that this was like an attempt to deter them from what they were doing, like kind of like an intimidation tactic. Like we're getting your boss, we're going to get you.
Why would somebody want to deter you from extending people's lives? Like what's
hold that thought. They continued what they were doing until 6 months later, Bill Falloon received a call from an employee claiming marshals are kicking in the door. Turns out the FDA was there raiding the company's office, warehouse, research labs, and even the museum. The FDA charged them with selling unapproved drugs to buyers. And also claimed that Bill Falloon and Saul Kent were using fake names to illegally import unapproved drugs into the country to sell. That's what I mean by operating in like illegally gray, legally gray areas.
Better call Saul Kent.
As they awaited grand jury proceedings, the FDA conducted another raid in 1991, this time at the company's Arizona facility, because, yeah, if you're going to be in Florida, also be in Arizona. They were charged with more than 24 counts of conspiring, importing, and disguising unapproved drugs as supplements and then selling them. Falloon and Kent turned themselves in because these were, like, you know, arrest warrants or whatever, and landed in jail. Side note, this actually happened on Bill Falloon's birthday, he says, which he was happy about because usually for him, his birthday was, like, shitty 1 year closer to death. People always like, happy birthday, happy birthday. And he's like, it's not very happy for me. And this time he was like, ooh, I'm getting to have some fun.
That's kind of sad.
I know it is.
But at least this time he got excitement out of it.
He got something fun. Yeah. The two, because, you know, he very much believed in what he was doing. And the two were bailed out the next day. So it wasn't like they were, you know, rotting in jail.
Yeah, they got white people jail.
Yeah. I think their bail was like $825,000.
Oh my God, that's actually a lot of money. Yeah. Holy shit.
For each, I think.
So does ACAB include the FDA?
That's going to be part of a larger conversation that we are going to have.
Kayla, what you're supposed to say is we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. The case continued to drag on for 5 years, allegedly because the feds couldn't find any witnesses willing to testify that the drugs purchased from the Florida Chronics Association caused them any harm. And in fact, many customers were angry at the FDA for doing what looked like trying to deny life-saving medications to people rather than working on approving them.
So Bill Falloon and co. were witness intimidating is what I'm hearing.
I think that is what you should be.
Nobody wanted to testify against the life extension mob.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely one read. My read was like, everybody was so happy with what they were getting, but maybe it's like, oh, I'm so scared. I don't.
He was the best guy around.
I've read nothing to make me think that that was the vibe. In 1995 and then 1996, a federal judge dismissed all criminal charges filed against Bill Falloon and Saul Kent. And during this process, the company, Florida Chronics Association, worked on the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act of 1994, which Congress passed in 1994. And this meant that with charges now dropped, Bill Falloon could actually expand his operation. The DSHEA, I think, is what it's referred to. Like, I think ultimately made it easier to sell supplements in this country.
I think I remember hearing about that on one of those, the Dream Seasons. Like that.
Probably.
It seems to me that there were, yeah, that was like a floodgate opening.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a Michael Hobbs joint. I don't know. One of those, I feel like I remember like a, yeah, like Congress doing something in the 90s that like opened those floodgates.
Yeah, that paved the way for the Alex Joneses of the world and the Dr. Drews. Even though the company took a huge financial hit, obviously, with legal fees, the publicity from the court cases brought many, many, many more clients. Because of course.
No such thing as bad pub, man. Yeah.
The pair decided to found a for-profit buyer's club for their company. Basically, so up until this point, it's been a nonprofit. They're like, we got to have something for-profit. So basically, this was a service that clients could buy into, which monthly fees gained them access to the company's magazine and discounts on the supplements purchased through the company. So it was kind of like a subscription service almost that like let you buy the stuff from the nonprofit at a cheaper price.
And could you use the magnet if you were subscribed?
The magnet's gone. There's no more magnet.
Did it get attracted to another magnet somewhere?
And he's gone.
Oh, man.
And in 2000, the company changed its name from Florida Cryonics Association to the Life Extension Foundation and the Buyers Club to Life Extension Buyers Club. And this is where I had to pause and run to our medicine cabinet because that name sounded so familiar to me. And
yeah, it sounds familiar to me too.
Turns out we have purchased products from Life Extension Foundation a number of times.
Oh shit. So am I gonna live forever?
Is
it my metformin?
The zinc lozenges we use to like maybe help prevent like cold and COVID infections and to treat cold when we get the cold. Yeah, those are Life Extension Foundation zincs, and you can
the ones that are like the big horse pill, like the size
zinc
of a Coke
acetate,
can.
Like huge zincs that take forever to dissolve in your mouth. Yeah, you can thank Bill Falloon for that.
Thanks, Bill Falloon. Those things are disgusting.
They're nasty as hell. But I think they've helped.
Maybe.
Since those early days of FDA raids and arrests, the Life Extension Foundation, now renamed again the Biomedical Research and Longevity Society, has grown exponentially. From Wikipedia, quote, in a 2006 tax filing, the company declared assets of over $25 million and netted more than $3 million on revenue of more than $18 million that year. And according to an article in the Miami New Times, Quote, the funds from the Life Extension Buyers Club, $110 million since 1996, according to the Life Extension's court documents, were used to fund dozens of projects.
Like?
What projects exactly? Some examples. Research projects on sleep patterns in rats. Research projects into de-aging worms. Human trials on a drug called Enbrel and whether it can reverse Alzheimer's.
Are we just like worried that like, if we live a long time, like the worms will die out before we do?
We need to have some worm and rat friends around.
Right, okay.
Research into stem cells. Many millions went to a nonprofit called Stasis, who works on a project called the Time Ship, which intends to be a structure that can withstand any catastrophe and will store cryopreserved patients as well as an organ bank and like DNA of various extinct organisms. Many millions also went into research into vitrification processes, such as rabbit kidneys and doing that rabbit kidney transplant that we talked about, and the effects on dogs' brains and bodies. And this is just to name a few. Bill Floon claims that most of the money made by his companies goes to Life Extension and cryopreservation research. And while, yes, he has a home he purchased for $1.2
million,
he also...
$1.2 million these days is like a hovel.
Nothing, yeah. He also has no inheritance. He claims he has no inheritance set aside for his children. Like anything that he leaves behind, though hopefully not, will be donated to research. According to him, quote, how can I enjoy a yacht if I know we're all going to die and disappear? As far as I know, he doesn't have a yacht.
Yeah, I kind of don't begrudge these folks. I think maybe you mentioned this last episode, or maybe it was just in the one of the things that we watched together, but... how a lot of these folks don't, that are in the Church of Perpetual Life, don't intend to have an inheritance or leave an inheritance to their children or their grandchildren, which is like not what our society, I think, normally would encourage, but I kind of feel like it's, I don't know, it's consistent with their beliefs. Like,
yeah,
I don't hate it, actually.
I don't think there's anything wrong with leaving a financial legacy for your children. And I also don't think there's anything wrong with not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Particularly, yeah, if, you're doing, particularly if you're not just like, I'm going to fucking buy a yacht and like waste all this money. And you're funding life extension technologies, which, sure, you think can like actually help your children. I see a difference in that than like fucking Bill Gates being like, I'm not going to give any money to my children. And then like somehow getting richer and richer and richer and
every
richer,
year. Yeah. Yeah. Now that I think about it, like, I guess I wouldn't even begrudge parents that don't intend to live forever, like if they just were like, yeah, we're gonna spend all of our money, like that's, you know, it's your money, like you don't,
it is.
And I just like, I think about my parents, like if they spent all of their savings on, you know, enjoying the twilight years or whatever and going on vacations, like I would be cool with that. Like
what if they bought a yacht though?
Do I get to use it?
Okay, no,
if they buy a yacht, if they buy a yacht, then they better fucking leave me the yacht. If they
what
spend
if they
it
don't?
On if they spend it on experiences,
they're going to buy the yacht and then they're going to donate the yacht to NPR.
All right, I need to give this some more thought.
I think as long as a yacht's thought involved, it's wrong. Any yacht, yeah, incorrect.
Both sides wrong.
Yacht, pro yacht, no wrong. Yacht.
Anti yacht, also wrong. Everything involving a yacht,
I'm nil yacht.
Just wrong.
No yacht at all, existing or not existing.
Right, right. The negation of yacht. What about yacht rock?
I'm going to give you some more context here. Might change a little something for you. I don't know.
Oh, God. In which direction?
I don't know.
God.
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
In 2013, however, Falloon's legal troubles came back around.
Okay.
The IRS revoked the Life Extension Foundation's tax-exempt status. I think they revoked it back to like 2006, claiming that its operations were too entwined with the for-profit Life Extension Buyers Club to like be a nonprofit.
Okay.
And like Falloon and Kent fought the revocation, but they were unsuccessful. They were able to like,
okay,
to get rid of the backdated part. So it was just like they were revoked in 2013, not 2006.
And that's why they started a religion.
Do you remember what else happened in 2013?
Yeah, that's when they started the Church of Perpetual
Life. A little nonprofit tax exempt organization called the Church of Perpetual Life was founded.
Okay.
I'll just leave that there.
Yeah, scuzzy and whatnot.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. It looks scuzzy, but I can talk myself out of it.
Sure, I can talk myself out of it too, and I'm about to. Like, it's the problem isn't them. The problem is that we should be taxing churches.
Yep. you shouldn't be able to just like make a church and not pay taxes.
Yeah. It's like, oh shit, I don't want to pay taxes anymore. I'm a church now. Like, okay, no, that should not be allowed.
And also like, it makes me, this is like a totally, like, I don't know, is this a meta reason? Is this like not even a good reason? But then I'm like, well, now I have to like question the intention of like what this church is doing. Which before last week I was like, I think what this church is doing is cool. I think it's providing fellowship and blah, blah, blah. Can a place be doing something good while also being like kind of shady?
I mean, I guess the very least,
crux of our show.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. At the very least, it kind of sours the milk a little bit because, yeah, I had the same sort of impression of like, oh, you know, it's neat that they have the trappings of religion. Like, why not? You know, like religion doesn't have to be a monopoly of like deity type stuff with Jesus and all those guys. It can be somebody singing, who were they singing?
Forever Young.
Be people singing Forever Young. And I don't know. But now it is like, oh, but I think that was just for tax.
I don't have any like proof of that. I only have the circumstantial evidence of one nonprofit was closed or not closed.
You have some pretty clear-cut time series data.
Had the status revoked in 2013. And then in 2013, a new nonprofit was founded.
Yeah.
And this nonprofit we have seen oftentimes uses the platform as a place to like advertise pills and supplements.
I guess it could be one of those things too, though, like where it was started for those reasons, but then it kind of like grew into something real, kind of like those, like, you know, those teenage rom-coms or whatever, where it's like, I am going to pay you to date me, most popular girl in school, even though I don't like you, but it's just going to make me more popular. But then they end up falling in love. Of course, they have to, you know, go through a journey first where the guy gets popular and then doesn't like the girl anymore and then realizes that he actually just liked her as a person all along. Maybe that's what happened here.
Maybe that's what happened here. I don't know. And I do want to be clear that like not every sermon or service or whatever at the Church of Perpetual Life is about buying pills. Like the one we went to had absolutely
some of it's about cocaine.
Cocaine and how that's, you need to add that to your system. No. The one we went to had absolutely nothing to do with selling vitamins and supplements. It was showcasing video games that a life extension enthusiast had like helped produce that were about gamifying the experience of like life extension.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with selling pills.
Yeah. When you talk about it that way, like the vibe that I got from the actual thing that we attended was not super grifty. It seemed pretty ground up to me.
But we also did not attend a service in which Bill Falloon was speaking and presenting, which he does often. But also, I don't know. I don't think that he's oftentimes going like, buy my pill, buy my pill, buy my pill. I think most of the time he's talking about like updates and age reversal. But then that gets into like, here's the new supplements that we think are good. I think that there's more to talk about. I think that Bill Falloon is a true believer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's taking steps that somebody who wants to help others is taking. And at the same time, those are the exact same steps that a grifter would take.
This is the age old question, Kayla. Are they a true believer? Like, we've been asking that question since like Teal Swan, since season one of the show.
I think I'm like one of the most convinced on him.
That he is a
true believer and that he is trying to do something that he thinks is good. Part of it is because like, and granted, this is like the mythos and they always have a mythology about themselves, but I do believe that this person has been on this track since they were 8 years old.
Yeah, you're right. That is totally a mythology story. I didn't pick that up at the time, but you're right.
But I believe it.
Yeah. Did he chop down a cherry tree too?
And he cannot tell a lie. And I could be naive, but I also think that there's a lot to be said for the amount of money that's been donated to these projects and has been donated to research.
I'm with you, man. I don't know. My brain feels entirely within the gray area.
Some claim that Bill Falloon is one of the most important people in cryonics and that he's single-handedly done more for the research and advances than any other individual. And some people claim that Bill Falloon is a grifter who's like shilling pills. I also want to point out that Falloon and the Life Extension Foundation, which still operates today and has specific protocols and recommendations for anyone looking to extend their life, the foundation has been pioneers when it comes to medications now embraced by the mainstream. So again, we mentioned like metformin, aspirin, melatonin. We'll get into that right now. So like Falloon was ahead of the curve on metformin, a drug that is now essentially the first line of defense for people with diabetes, particularly, I think, type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm. And pre-diabetes.
And it has some promising research demonstrating its like potential anti-aging properties.
It's a glucophage. It eats the glucose in your sugar.
And like I said, it eats the glucose in your sugar.
It eats the glucose in your blood.
Good. I picture like a little pill just going through your bloodstream with the mouth.
I think like that's what it looks like. Yeah. It's like a little Pac-Man.
And like I mentioned, you know, this drug came about, I think, in like the 50s, and it was approved to sell in other countries way before. Wait,
metformin's been around since the 50s?
It wasn't approved to sell here until much, much, much later. Because typically the FDA does have a very, very lengthy process, like a 20 plus year process sometimes.
Which is there for our safety.
We're going to, spoiler alert, there's another episode coming about the Church of Professional Life and all of this stuff. And we're going to talk more about like getting into the specifics and this conversation on like the FDA and that like difficulty of like, okay, but they're doing a good thing because they're protecting us, but also they're doing a bad thing because they're preventing life-saving medication from getting to people. What do?
That sounds completely answerable by us.
I don't think it is. Bill Floon was also one of the first groups, or the Life Extension Foundation, whatever you want to refer to it. They were one of the first people to support and sell melatonin. Like, melatonin research started coming out in, like, the 90s, and they were like,
isn't that the sleep
thing? Cool, let's go. Yes. But I think that there's also other properties. They don't just sell, life-extending things. Like, you and I take that zinc for...
Oh, yeah. That's not... Yeah.
I don't know if they say it has life-extending properties, but it's about, like...
Your aging overall
and
illness health.
And disease and health.
Okay.
Sleep is very, very important to health.
Okay.
And I think they think it's very important to life extension and anti-aging. So melatonin is
great. It's not specifically maybe anti-aging, but if it contributes to a significant pillar of your health, then they're going to be into it.
Okay. They have like a whole, I'll link an interview with Bill Floon. He explains his whole, like, if somebody comes to them and is like, hello, I want to do something right now for my health. They have a whole kind of like first line protocol of like the first thing is get on metformin.
Really?
It's metformin, it's NAD plus, and there's a couple other things that they're like, here's what you can do kind of right away.
Interesting. I think it's cool they have that. I'm surprised metformin's number one.
And they also recommend, like, Bill Floon is very, very, he thinks that this is one of the most important things you can do. You have to get a blood work baseline from a doctor before you do any of these things.
Oh, okay.
Because they cannot, he's like, we cannot tell if any of these drugs are helping you in the anti-aging, disease reversal, whatever, if you do not get that baseline. The information is lost.
Do they have markers that they can say, like, if this number goes up after you take metformin, then you're going to live longer or whatever?
I think it's more nuanced than that, but essentially, yes.
Okay.
And they say, like, it's very, I listened to this interview and he stressed so much that, like, it is a tragedy when people enter into anti-aging, like, medications and do not get that baseline. And also it can't, if you don't have that baseline, it can't be as tailored.
Right. And you said he also recommends that people eat his NADs?
NAD plus is a big
NAD
pro plus. Health anti-aging pill. I've taken it before. Get the fuck out of my podcast.
Sorry. Are you going to keep that?
I don't know. I'm going to continue reading now and you're going to be nice.
Well, are you going to tell me what the drug does?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
It's antioxidant. I don't know.
Back in the real world, I have actually heard of it before being like a thing in the anti-aging space.
Yeah. As mentioned, they were ahead of the curve on aspirin's protective cardiovascular effects. That's something else that I take daily. And they were also some of the first to adopt DHEA and CoQ10, which we also both know about.
I used to take aspirin daily. I stopped because I think it was like I was taking like a regular dose. And I think you're supposed to take
a baby aspirin.
Smaller dose because otherwise it can like
be bad for
irritate
you.
Your digestive tract, I think. Oh. Just don't, like, maybe this should be a blanket statement for this episode, but...
Don't take any pills just because we're talking about them on the show.
Don't go and be like, I got to take aspirin every day because they said it on Cultured Dessert.
Listen to Bill Floon, go get your baseline, go talk to your doctor.
Yeah, talk to your doctor.
But yeah, I take a baby aspirin. And then I've taken CoQ10 and I have taken DHEA. They pay close attention to the research being done in these arenas. And they have a wide network of customers and like-minded thinkers who also keep a close eye on the research. Again, in the interview I watched, he said, quote, we garner a lot of information from people who simply don't want to die. And that, again, made me go like, oh, yeah, terror management theory mm-hmm. and all of that. Like, I think it's good that they're not shying away from the fact that a lot of what they're doing is motivated by a fear of death or being disturbed by death or not wanting to die. And they're very upfront about that.
Okay. So they're like,
a lot of times they're like, we're the people who are in this right now who are like over 50, like we're running out of time. They'll literally say, we're running out of time.
Okay.
They are acknowledging that this
is is like that they are afraid. It's not like, we're not afraid of it. We just, you know, don't like it. Yeah. Like it's, I think that's good actually. Yeah.
I think it's good. One of the more interesting side details of this whole story is that amongst the various companies and organizations and nonprofits and churches that Bo Falloon has founded or contributed to over the years, there's one that stood out to me among the rest. And that would be the FDA Holocaust Museum.
I don't like the name of that at all.
Next week on Culture Just Weird, we're going to get deeper into Bill Falloon's relationship with the FDA, what this museum is all about, and a movement that all brushes up against this, known as the health freedom movement.
Okay, all of that sounds really sus to me, and I also really don't like the usage of that word, but, you know, I'm looking forward to next week's show.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
This is Kayla.
And this is Chris.
And this has been...
Cult or Just a Really Long Life. No, Cult or Just Supplement. Cult or Just...
FDA.